Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Women's Bible Study. This is Megan speaking, currently on my own. We're waiting for the ladies all in Texas to be able to join us. They're having problems. So I guess we'll start. As you know, we're going through the teaching on the Walking in the Spirit seminar, and we're currently on the gifts of the Spirit, which can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week we went over prophecy, and so the next one in our list is the discerning of spirits. The definition, if you will, says this is supernatural revelation or insight into the realm of spirits to detect them and their plans and to read the thoughts of men, which is not to be confused with ESP, which is one of the counterfeits that the devil has. As we know, he can't actually create anything. But he can take something the Lord has made and twist it, and so take your attention, your eyes, your focus off the Lord and manage to divert us. So discerning of the spirits, the first verse is found in Acts 15 from verses 5 to 10. I guess I will do the reading. Hopefully the ladies will come up. Acts 15 verses 5 to 10. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? So here you have Peter, people coming to the Pharisees, coming together and basically trying to put onto the people the law, which even, you know, nobody was able to keep. And Peter was able to discern the source, if you will, of the disputations and show that what they were doing was they were tempting God. They were entrusting him. The evidence of the Lord had been there, which we know of from Cornelius when Peter went to go and speak to him. And the Lord moved. And so here you have the Pharisees standing up, trying to get people to turn back to the law. And the apostles and elders come together to decide what to do about it. And Peter stands up, as we have read, and says, the Lord doesn't put a difference between us and, you know, Gentiles and Jews, male or female. He doesn't put that difference there. So basically, he put them down for their trying to get the people who were newly converted to the Lord to go back to the law. And so you know that you're not saved by works. And so that's an evidence. That's how come this scripture is referenced in the discerning of spirits, is because this was not something that was going to lead people to the grace of the Lord Jesus and what he did on the cross. So the next reference is in Acts chapter 16. Verses 16 to 18. And while you turn there, I just want to let everyone know, if you have any questions, please do put them in. It's awfully lonely here tonight with just me. So Acts 16, verses 16 to 18. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So here, as they're going, a woman who has a spirit of divination, in other words, she is, deals with familiar spirits and demonic spirits and all that kind of thing. She follows them and she says, she's like a fortune teller today. And the people who were her masters said, you know, they made money by her because she's into fortune telling. People want to know what's going to happen in the future. And so she follows Paul and several of the others and says that, you know, gives testimony to the fact that these men are men of God and they're showing us the way of salvation, which was true. But you see that Paul, being grieved, he recognized that this woman didn't believe. She was speaking out of the mouth of a demonic spirit. And so he cast the spirit out of her to actually give her freedom, you know, to liberate her from it. And you see how all it took was, I command thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come out of her. So on the face of things, it looked like what she was saying was something worth saying and worth giving credence to. But Paul knew what was behind it and that the woman was actually trying to really give herself credibility, or that the demonic spirit was giving her credibility so that she would continue to move, get people to come and hear her foretelling, if you will. Let's see. Would you say that discernment is, in a sense, using our spiritual eyes? It can be. It can also be just almost like a knowledge, just, you know, not necessarily seeing something, but knowing it. Paul was grieved. Let me have a look at what that means. Please bear with me while I find the verse. Looks like the ladies are moving their location to somewhere else because there was no internet where they were. Chapter 16, looking at verse 18, says, Paul was grieved, which says to toil through, to be worried, to be grieved. I suspect there was a little more to it than this, but he knew that she wasn't speaking because the Lord had opened her eyes to see it. She was speaking because a demonic spirit had given her eyes to see it. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. And so he cast out the demonic spirit, which of course made her free and got her masters rather angry because now their hope of money was gone. I'm going to move on, but let me know if that answers your question. So basically it can be using your spiritual eyes, if you will, but it can also just be a knowledge that the Lord gives you in the situation. The next references are in 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verses 1 to 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. So the Spirit spoke expressly, plainly, here it is, in the latter times, of course, you know, we're in latter times, certainly than where they were. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And this is how they present. They speak lies in hypocrisy, because their conscience is seared. They have no more conscience, no conscience. When you have no conscience left, you're just anything goes. And so you can lie with a straight face and actually believe it. Another thing is they forbid to marry. They tell people they're not allowed to get married. This is one of those seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, commanding to abstain from meats. We know that these are things that you can see when you look at some churches. You can see it in the Catholic Church. The priests are forbidden to marry. They're forbidden to eat meat on Fridays or during Lent, etc. And as we know, the Lord made meat for us to be enjoyed and for our sustenance and health and energy. And that, you know, it's good for us. And he created it to be received with thanksgiving in those who believe and know the truth. And so when people believe that you shouldn't eat meat, it's basically, again, saying that's one of those seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And verse 4, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. There are some things that are sort of cultural things that we like or don't like, or things that we might frown upon, but everything is there for our benefit if we eat it with thanksgiving. I remember in South Africa, which of course is where I'm from, some of the white people might, as a delicacy, eat snails. And I remember talking with a woman who was a black woman in a hospital, perhaps, where I was working. And to them, the idea of eating snails was just terrible. You don't ever eat snails. But they would eat mapani worms, which are a kind of a fat slug-looking worm. But the white people generally wouldn't eat mapani worms. So it's just an simple example of every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. All right, the next reference is in 1 John chapter 4. I apologize, I'm not able to write them and find verses tonight, but you can find the teaching online under the Walking in the Spirit seminar. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This sort of goes back to some of the verses that we've already talked about. Clearly. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, Miss Megan.
How are you all? I'm glad you're joining us.
Well, and I apologize, but the first thing we pulled up was Skype. So now I'm going to pull up the Eagle Radio so we can enter into the chat. But first things first, right?
Sure. So I have started, and we've read the first few references. I just read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to – oh, I was supposed to read to 6. We'll just read the last two verses, and then we can chat about them.
Sure.
So verse 5 says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Since we're still finding it, Megan, you go ahead and, if you don't mind, we'll pick right back in.
Sure. So it's pretty clear in the beginning. Believe not every spirit. Not every word that comes out of somebody's mouth is true, even though there might be a ring of truth, as we read with the woman with the spirit of divination. There are many false prophets, and as you know, there's that verse that talks about many coming and saying that Jesus is the Christ, and that verse fits right in with this here, because what the people who speak that often are saying is, and the way it was put. They're saying that to give themselves credibility. And you saw that with the woman with the spirit of divination. She was saying something that was true, but it was of a demonic spirit. Therefore, you have to try the spirit that was behind the thing. And hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Let's just run back to the woman and what she said back in Acts 16, verse 17. She said, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. We read one after that, showed that they were trying to go back to the law. It was the one before that. I do apologize. I think it was probably the one before that, where they, in Acts 15, verses 5 to 10, verse 10, Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? So people can say that Jesus is, you know, the Christ or what have you, but when they try and turn you to the law, that's an example of a false spirit.
Well, and one thing about this one, I just don't want to get lost, is that every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, is speaking about the fact that Jesus left his heavenly estate and came actually in flesh, and walked this earth as a man. And that is what it is referring to. And it is a verse that shows that, you know, he didn't come down and he was God and therefore he did all these things as God.
Yes.
He came down as man. The difference between him and the rest of us is he did not have sin, but the way in which he served and manifest his Father was through obedience to his Father. And it's the exact same way we do it. The exact same way. And so it's really speaking here about the fact that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the fleshes of God, that is what it's talking about.
You left out a word.
Sure.
Not.
Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God.
No.
The next verse says.
Oh, okay.
Was on two.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. So that's really what that's talking about.
Yes.
It's the exact same way Jesus manifests the Father is the exact same way those who make a right confession and actually believe God and that testimony do the same works.
There's a question in the chat. Practically speaking, how would one try a spirit? And I would say there are two main ways. One is, does it accord with the word? And the second one is, where does it point you? Does it point your hope to your works, or does it point your hope to the grace of the Lord and to the gospel?
Yeah.
So those would be basically the wheat and the tares. Where is the fruit pointing?
Yeah.
Is it turning your eyes to the Lord or off him? Those would be, to me, the two main ways to try a spirit. Do you have anything else to say?
I would say this, that you can't know a spirit unless you be of the Spirit of God, where you know God and are have learned of him. And therefore, it goes back to that counterfeit. You then recognize a false spirit, but what you said was exactly true.
But
you need to know the Lord to be able to try a spirit to know if it be of God.
And you also need to know the word to find out if, are they bringing the true word or are they changing it to lead you away from the Lord?
Yeah.
So it's very important to know the word.
But looking back at that woman with the spirit of divination, she spoke the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But go ahead, Karen.
It sounded exactly right, what she said. And anybody that didn't have discernment, such as Paul did, would have maybe thought that that was okay. That sounded fine. And a lot of that goes on in the churches today where there's no discernment. And a lot of the ministers are preaching of self and pointing the what they say to themselves rather than to what the Lord would have them say, and people are believing it, and it's making people feel good. It's turning people away from the Lord, and they don't even know it.
It's kind of like a hook. You say, the first thing you say is the truth, and after that, you speak a lie. So discernment is something that you have to be about all the time.
There was a minister I heard a long, long time ago. His name was Ernest Angsley, believe it or not, but I was watching him on TV one time, and he preached Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead. But then when he started calling people up for prayer or for testifying, he didn't say, share what Jesus did. He said, share what, tell them what Ernest Angsley did for you. And right there was a red flag that went up, because he wasn't glorifying Jesus, he was glorifying himself.
Yeah. It goes back to the fact that it's not us, it's not the believer that does the work, but the Spirit.
It goes back to what Megan said about trying the spirits. You have to, first of all, compare it to the Word, and then compare it to what, the second thing she said, I forgot what it was, but those two things.
Who does it glorify?
Who does it glorify, right? Those two things. If you're glorifying yourself or anybody else, then it's not of God.
Amen. So Megan, since you were going, if you'd like to continue, feel free on verse 3.
Well, you already covered that one. And there is the mention of the spirit of Antichrist, which is anything that obviously it originates with Satan, but it's any spirit that turns you away from Jesus. It's that same anti-Christ, anti-gospel, anti-grace, anti-the love of God.
And also that spirit of Antichrist says that the servants of God can't do the will and the works of God.
Yes, and that's a very subtle kind of antichrist sort of thing, if you think about it. But you're right. And, you know, you've heard that it will come. Even now, it's already in the world. It's been in the world since the beginning. Or since
the fall of
Adam.
Yes.
Hear of God, little children, and have overcome them. In other words, there's nothing to fear. Just, you know, because you have the Lord coming up there, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Therefore, you have overcome them. There's nothing. They're not going to hinder you, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. One thing about little children, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Part of that is through that faith of Jesus Christ that we believe. And in that place, and by that faith, and in that hope, we have overcome. It's not a feeling, because we don't always feel that way. But it is, and as Davey preached on Sunday, it is him. It's his faith. It is, he had the faith when he came down to this earth and then hung on that cross and then rose from the dead, that would be sufficient for us, and we enter in by that faith of Jesus Christ and the hope of it. And in that we have overcome.
He also refers to them as being children, and which is a couple of things. One is it's a humbling thing, or a humble place to be, is to know that you are a child in the Lord, if you will. But it's also a thing of when you are a child, everyone's bigger than you. And so, you know, he's telling them, even though they're perhaps young in the Lord, they are overcomers because they have Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. But another thing too, it says, greater is he that is in you. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is greater than
Amen.
So we don't have to fear, as Megan said. We're filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's because of that that we can overcome.
Verse 5 says, they're of the world.
Can I stop for 1 minute?
Sure.
Because it doesn't say we can overcome. It says and have overcome them.
Amen.
And that's a place we stand in by faith. And it really separates us from our feelings, our natural man and its own understanding. It's where we come into alignment with God and what he says.
Amen. It's important to pay attention to those little words. Sometimes we miss the meaning of that by not paying attention to each word.
Amen. So now, go forth.
Okay. They're of the world, verse 5, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. This you see everywhere. Because people are of the world, they speak things that are of the world, and they are given adulation, and crowds come because the world hears them. They know it and agree with what the lies are, basically, the false prophecy and the falseness of it, the antichrist spirit. And so we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He's talking there, I think, more than likely, you can correct me if you can. But he that knoweth God heareth us. He's talking of those who are in leadership, who are the apostles, etc. If you know God, you will hear his people. He that is not of God heareth not us. I don't give him the time or the attention. They don't agree with them.
I don't disagree with you at all, but if we go forth and minister that word in truth, this is true of all who do that.
Sure.
It doesn't mean they won't hear at a later time. So it is not like some absolute judgment. But
I believe.
Certainly, I don't disagree that those who, like here, we know John was an apostle. We know that that was true of him and the other apostles. But you figure when evangelists go out, would not that, I mean, be true of them? An evangelist of God who goes out and ministers the gospel?
Absolutely.
So,
but you have to know the word. And it comes back to what we've been talking about for weeks, studying the word, knowing what the word says. It's ever so important to know that because, you know, when these situations come on you, you need to know what the truth is.
And that's absolutely true, and that's a responsibility each of us have. But considering Ephesians, where it says that the apostles and prophets are given for the work of perfecting of the saints, it doesn't stop there. It also comes through taking heed to them. Mm-hmm. And I know Davey has spoken in the past that if you want to know how to serve the Lord, stick close to him. Because you see a man in action doing that. And if you will watch, you will grow in your knowledge and ability to do likewise. We saw it with Joshua and Moses. Mm-hmm. We saw it with Elisha and Elijah. We saw it with Timothy and Paul. We see it with Steve and Davey. And so it is with us. If we will, the same thing can take place.
Yes. Amen.
But it does not circumvent knowing the word. That is an important foundational point and a responsibility of each of us to study, to show ourselves approved. A workman not needing to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, mm-hmm. or the word.
Yep. And back and forward, says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That's all who believe.
Yeah.
That is all who is filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just the apostles and prophets. It's all believers. We're the little children he's talking to there.
Amen. But, you know, it's kind of interesting that it's in that discourse where it's defined by the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ having come in the flesh.
Amen.
And that's an important thing because that's part of that faith that we believe.
Go ahead, Megan.
Well, that's how we know the, I had, hold on.
Spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Yes. Is, When people receive the word, they have the spirit of truth. And when they don't, they have the spirit of error.
Amen. And you know, the thing about discernment is it's not there for judgment in the sense of judging and condemning a person, but through that spirit of discernment and the right use of that discernment, you can rightly minister to the person or to those in the presence of the person.
Amen.
So it is, these gifts are given to the benefit of the body. And part of that is that it will increase the body through bringing a word not only rightly divided, but rightly brought to the person that you're ministering to.
You know, one other point to, I think, bring up is that just because there is a spirit of truth and a spirit of error doesn't mean that you should not still speak the spirit of the word of truth, because for certainly most people or some number of people, do not know who those would be and who not, etc. But for most people, if they have the spirit of error, they may not know they have it until they hear the spirit of truth. And so you still have to bring it forward so that they have an opportunity to see the truth and see the error and make a decision and make a choice as to which one they're going to cleave to.
Amen. That's right.
And you know, the beautiful thing about the way the Lord works is he always brings the gospel in demonstration of power. And I know when Davey spoke on Sunday, he spoke about that. And the power that was brought to heal Anne, who was going to be lame the rest of her life, and all who know Anne know she's not. And the spirit by which he ministered the gospel to me, which without that I hadn't received the gospel. And when Karen goes in with a long-time or lifelong asthma problem and couldn't be around smoke, by that spirit, he lit up a cigarette, and she was delivered and is sitting even now in the presence of cigarette smoke with no asthma, right?
Amen.
But it always comes in power, so that person really does have that choice. And when I say always, if we walk in and if we will learn to walk in the knowledge that the very same thing Jesus did, we can do likewise. So that in the very same way Jesus ministered, we can minister. Then that gospel that comes not in man enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and of in spirit and of power will accompany it every time. And as Davey put it, even that demonstration that was brought to me was my miracle, though I too was healed. But the receiving of the gospel came through the way in which he brought it to me, which was beyond Davey, but not beyond God.
Amen.
Amen.
Same way Jesus ministered, in the same way we can.
Amen.
And have to.
Yes.
So the next one is Matthew 9.
We didn't do 6.
Oh, we didn't do 6. I apologize.
We did 6.
Go ahead, Megan.
Go ahead with
verse 6.
I thought we did do it. Oh, we are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us.
Yeah, I'm not with it, evidently.
It's better to make sure.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure.
There we go.
There we go.
Would you read 3 and 4 there? Because it gives the entrance into Jesus' words in verse 4 of Matthew.
Me?
Yes.
Righty-ho. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?
Okay, so they didn't speak it, but Jesus knew their thoughts. We know the spirit is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And here you see Jesus walking in that discernment. And this is when he told the man sick of the palsy. He didn't tell him that he was healed. He said, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven." And so then those who beheld, certain of the scribes, said within themselves that this wasn't spoken, this man blasphemed. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" And it goes on and he says, "For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins, then he saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house." But here, when Jesus says, you know, which is easier? Well, it's a lot easier to say thy sins be forgiven you, because there is absolutely nothing that shows that command or that statement came to pass.
Right.
But when he said, and yet it did come to pass, because Jesus said it, and we know that his word is true. But when he said, you know, rise up and walk, now you saw the proof of that power. And as he said, but that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then he said it. Now, whether they chose to accept that, you know, that's where it comes between us and God. Will we accept the truth when it's made manifest? And when we read this, we're all in agreement it's the truth. But when you stop and wonder, if what would you have done in that situation with that, what Jesus ministered, kind of puts a new light on it, because you have to wonder, what would I have done? And then you can look at what you do now when confronted with a truth. It's easy to look at what they did, but it's when we look at our own selves that we can begin to allow the Lord to, we can begin to make right decisions and allow the Lord to work in us.
But it's interesting in that, you know, certain of the scribes and within themselves, you know, they said this man blasphemed, and they were saying Jesus was a blasphemer. And they saw the demonstration of the spirit and the power that Jesus put forth. But many of those, as we can tell by reading the rest of the Gospels, they didn't believe, even though they saw it. And unfortunately, there are people out there today, they see the power of God, they see the miracles of God, and they turn around and walk away. And they can actually have it happen to them personally. And they turn around and walk away. And unfortunately, we have to deal with that. You know, it's not because we did anything wrong. The Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, showed the power of God and showed that it was truth. But every man and woman must make their own decision.
Yes.
And you will find that there are some that will walk away from a miraculous healing or a miraculous incident. They'll just walk away, shaking their head, just like these scribes did. But that shouldn't be a discouragement to us. We still have to go out there and share the gospel in spirit and in power. And it's up to each individual whether they accept that or not.
And that, truth be told, is sometimes we have to wrestle that down, because one does examine oneself. And
it's easy to become discouraged.
It's easy to become discouraged. And sometimes we just plain and simple have stuff to learn. But when the Spirit is there and ministers in power, Mike, one of the things that's always stuck in my mind was that guy, and his name was Dave, who in Vietnam had his eardrum
blown out,
and he was healed like that.
Yes.
And if he came back once, that was the most he ever came back.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do with that? It's just sad. The gospel was ministered to him where he could have received it. And to my knowledge, I mean, which is only limited to that experience, he received the healing, but he didn't receive the Lord who wrought that healing.
I remember a man in Vermont that was carried in because he no longer could walk, and I don't remember exactly what disease he had, but it was a degenerative muscle and nerve disease that just got progressively worse. And he was actually carried into a service. And he would, Davey prayed for him, and the man walked out. He never came back.
Wow.
And that's sad.
It is sad, and I completely agree it's extremely sad, but I will say this. Unless we are willing to walk in obedience to the Lord and bring that word, people's blood is on our hands when they are cast into hell.
That's right.
But if we will, then it is upon them. And there are those who will come.
Yes.
And for all those who won't, those who will are why we go out there.
And we're three examples of ones who did.
Amen. For which I praise God.
Amen.
Me too. Me three.
And I just say God is a merciful God. That's why we sit here. It isn't because we did everything right, but God's desire is that all men would come to know him, and he exercises that agape love through his servants to extend that reconciliation until we get it. And why some have departed and we remain, I thank God that we're here.
Amen.
But I will say this, having thus said, the time is now to then do something about that salvation that he has given us to go and now serve him.
He didn't give it to us to hold into ourselves. He gave it to us to share with others. Yeah.
He didn't give it to us to glorify us. He gave it to us so that we could glorify him.
Amen.
The next one is, and I have Miss Taryn helping me out, Matthew 10, verse 1, a page over. And Megan, you're our reader.
Righty-ho. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Okay. Now, how would you know? We know that scripture that you read earlier before we got on about the woman with the spirit of divination. How would you cast that out if you didn't have the discernment that it was a spirit of divination, that it was a spirit in the first place? Right? You have to have discernment to discern what's going on, that you can then do that which is needful.
Sure, sure. Well, an example of that is there are diseases, if you will. Some of them are caused by an unclean spirit, and some of them are simply a manner of disease or a manner of sickness. And it takes discernment to know which one it is.
Yes, like cancer, which isn't a sickness. It's it's demonic, right?
Yes, but also some of them can be the same thing, like Jesus with the fellow and the who had the spirit of a deaf and dumb spirit, and yet there was another man, I think, who was deaf, and Jesus put his fingers in his ears.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the same on the outside. It looked like the same thing, but there was a different origin and therefore a different way to deal with it.
Yeah.
It was like the man that Robin had talked about named Dave, who had his eardrums blown out because being in battle in Vietnam. That was, I hate to say natural, but that was a natural thing. That wasn't caused by a demonic spirit. So we have to be able to discern whether it is demonic or whether it's just a natural thing.
Yeah. You can see how important discernment is. And we're actually looking at the gifts of the Spirit, and one thing to remember in this discussion, not that we all don't, I mean, discernment is important in all of our lives, but we know that the apostles carry all the gifts. And in the absence of an apostle, the gifts remain because the apostle distributes them to faithful people who will use them to the benefit of the body. And so I think everybody here who's been in the presence of the body, most particularly like at the annual conventions, you can see and listen to people, and one person will have an understanding of something, but when they minister it and speak it, we all then have the same understanding. So somebody could say, I discerned that they had a spirit of such and such. Well, I might not have had the discernment, but now I'm the beneficiary of it through the faithful service of that person who had it.
We know that the apostles have all the gifts. But when we're out ministering to someone, the apostle's not with us. And God will give us that ability to discern or to heal or to give prophecy. Any of the gifts are available to all of us as we need them. But the apostle has that gift at all times. And someone who's been given the gift of discernment or healing or prophecy or any of the gifts, they have that available at all times. But God gives that to us when we need it, when we're out there ministering to people.
Right. Because He wants us to help people. He wants us, the gifts, to profit everyone out there.
Yeah.
So He gives them to us as they're needed.
Yeah. But the distinction Anne made there is those with the gift have it at all times. But we have it as needed at all times in that sense. So if we need discernment in ministering the gospel to somebody, even if we don't have that gift of discernment, we'll have that discernment at that time.
That's right.
So
I guess the next scripture is Luke 13:16.
Thank you, Anne.
Can I start back at verse 11?
Yes, you may.
Sure.
And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he lays his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?
Now, you know something very interesting about that, and it was that last verse that was the one noted in this study, is first of all, when we were talking about that discernment, this was a spirit of infirmity, and she was loosed or delivered from it. But notice where he knows how long she had it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He knew that for 18 years she had had it, and yet she didn't tell him. No. Nobody told him. Holy Spirit knew. Him. And you notice also here where she, being a daughter of Abraham. So, you know, this was a woman called into the body of Christ, a member, or of, it would seem to me that this speaks of a faith that this woman walked in, even though she was bent over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the spirit of infirmity. There is a woman in Groton who, now looking back, that woman is bent over. She's bent over like at, not a complete 45 degree angle, but almost. And yet I believe that woman is a faithful person. Probably had a spirit of infirmity. Wasn't just a widow's hump. It had progressed to where when she walked, she was looking at the ground. She couldn't look up. But here we see what you all were talking about, the difference between a spirit of infirmity, and somebody else could have had the same thing and had a natural injury or illness or some such thing. John 2:25.
And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man.
So there you see that Jesus knew the heart of man.
Amen.
And he wasn't dependent upon man to stand and serve God.
Why don't you read 23 and 24 and then 25 again?
Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man.
Anne, did you want to comment on that?
Not really.
Okay. That's fine.
It pretty much explains. It says that he knew. There's some of those that were excited. I guess I must speak on it. Some of them were excited, and they believed in his name. But Jesus also knew sometimes people just look at the miracles. They don't look at what's behind the miracle. And so he would commit himself to nobody. He didn't commit himself to any of them.
Go ahead.
Because he knew some were just going to walk away when the excitement died down.
And this,
we've seen that ourselves many times.
It's where you see that choice that is in our hands to make enters in. And it's something we have to remember, even though we did not walk away, because in all things, when we have a choice to retain that word that is spoken to us and walk and align ourselves with it, come into agreement with it. But that's our job. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just happen. And it's easy to get excited, it's easy to get inspired, it's easy to feel zealous. But all of that actually, unless it's translated into obedience and coming into agreement and into obedience with that word, is nothing. And I wanted to give you the definition of that word commit. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. It's to have faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or thing, i.e. credit by implication to entrust. And, you know, there are those that Jesus did trust.
Yes, he trusted the 11.
And we know he trusted Abraham because he said, I know him, that he will command his house. Mm-hmm. I forget exactly, but, you know, in the ways of God. But Abraham also made that commitment of obedience and coming into alignment with the word of God, and became that man that God could make that testimony, at that testimony of.
Amen.
Moses also.
Mm-hmm.
Paul. I mean, there's a lot of them, but.
We'll just read chapter 11 of Hebrews.
There you have it.
Ladies, we have less than a minute. And there are two more verses. Should we just put them in the chat and people can read them?
Thank you, Megan. And yes, and thank you for catching our shortness of time.
That would be Acts 13, verses 9 and 10 for those listening online at a later date.
Yes.
And another thing that Jesus knows all the hairs of our head. The hairs of our head are all numbered, so he knows everything about us.
That's what David said when the Lord told him he was establishing his kingdom. He says, you know me, Lord. You know my upcomings and my downgoings or whatever the words are. I mean, you know me. He knows us. But he also knew David's heart was to serve him. There's actually a scripture that said, where David said in Psalms, one thing I ask of the Lord in this, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and to inquire in his temple. That's what David asked of the Lord. To be in his presence, have access to him, to learn of him, to hear him. But what David did with that was faithful.
Amen. Amen. I guess we're out of time.
Yeah. Well, thank you everyone for joining us tonight. Sorry the three of us were late, but Megan, thank you very much for picking up the slack there and leading the service. So good night, everyone, and may God bless you all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.